We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Now hear why it's so true. Welcome to Social Capital, the weekly podcast where we dive into social relationships and how the investment you put into them establishes trust, reciprocity, and value within your networking community. Your host, Lori Hybe, will connect with top professionals and dive into their best networking stories and techniques to share with you.
Hey, everybody, Lori Hybe here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybe and on Facebook. This week's guest is Dr. Ivan Meisner. He is the founder and chief visionary officer of BNI, the world's largest business networking organization. Founded in 1985, the organization has over 8,400 chapters throughout every populated continent in the world. Last year alone, BNI generated 9.1 million referrals, resulting in over $13 billion worth of business for its members. Dr. Meisner is from the University of Southern California. He is also a New York Times best-selling author who has written 22 books. He is also a columnist for Entrepreneur.com and has been a university professor as well as a member of the Board of Trustees for the University of Laverne. Called the father of modern networking by CNN and one of the top networking experts by Forbes, Dr. Meisner is considered to be one of the world's leading experts on business networking and has been a keynote speaker for major corporations and associations throughout the world. Well, Dr. Ivan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Lori. It's great to be on the show, and please just call me Ivan.
Ivan, I can do that. And, you know, your biography is about twice as long as what I've read, so I'll include some of those additional notes in the show notes here. But I'd rather be hearing from you instead of, you know, me just rambling off on some of those things.
No problem. It is
fascinating
long.
Things. Fascinating things. It's something to most definitely be proud of. But I want to talk a little bit more about BNI. Obviously, as a host of a podcast on the topic of networking, I'm very familiar with BNI. I've attended some of your groups in my local community. But why don't you share for our listeners what exactly is BNI?
Yeah, happy to do that. And by the way, I love the topic of your podcast, Social Capital. You know, we don't teach this in colleges and universities anywhere in the world. We don't teach social capital, emotional intelligence, business networking. It's just not taught. And BNI, the history of BNI is kind of connected to that. Because when I was a young man, I started BNI when I was 28 years old. I went to networking groups that I felt were really mercenary. There was, you know, I'd come back from these groups and I felt like I needed to get a shower because I had been slimed by everybody trying to sell to me. And then I went to groups that were very social, and it was happy hour and hors d'oeuvres. Didn't like either of those kinds of groups. And I wanted to form a group that merged the two concepts together, the concept of doing business, but doing business within the environment of building relationships. And for me, the glue that held it together was this philosophy of giver's gain. And so I started BNI in 1985 as a structured way of generating business. And I'd like to tell you that I did it with, you know, this vision of an international organization, but I just needed some referrals for my consulting practice. And I wanted to build my business that way. And I found that a lot of people wanted to build their business that way. And that's when I learned that we're not teaching this in colleges and universities. And it struck me that a lot of business people really don't know how to build their business through referrals. And we ended up opening 20 chapters of BNI really without trying that first year. And that's when it struck me that I had struck a chord in the business community, and I created a plan to make BNI global. And we now have actually 8,753 chapters in 73 countries around the world.
Wow. Yeah.
It's been Mr. Toad's wild ride.
I can only imagine. Oh, and you just wanted a couple solid referrals.
Just wanted some referrals. Yeah, no, that's absolutely true. Yeah.
No, that's great. I love it. So that's a great inspiration. And, you know, with no major intention, at what point did you say or identify that this can reach beyond my local community?
Yeah. So, you know, I think BNI is a great example of necessity being the mother of invention. And so, you know, for your listeners that are out there, when if you run across something that's like, well, wait a minute, a lot of people seem to need this, then you really want to pay attention. It was actually about a year into BNI where I realized that this is something amazing. In marketing theory, there's this concept of pull marketing versus push marketing. Push marketing is where you just, you know, you're pushing, it's hard work, you're constantly trying to make things happen. And as a consultant, it was a lot of push marketing. I had to really market my consulting business. I was sort of a business coach before there were coaches. So it was difficult work. But with BNI, I was being pulled through the marketplace. I literally opened 20 chapters pretty much by accident. I mean, the second chapter was somebody who came to the first chapter and said, hey, would you help me open up my own group? Because in BNI, we only take one person per profession in a chapter. And I actually, Laura, I actually said to her, I said, no, this isn't what I do. I'm a business consultant. And she talked me into it. We opened a second group and they said, hey, would you help me? There were people there who said, hey, would you help me open up my own group? Because I can't join this one. And I told them no. And they talked me into it. And at the end of the year, I always sit down at the end of the year and spend close to a week and just kind of evaluate, you know, where do I want to be in 5 years? Where do I want to be in 10 years? How did last year compare to my goals? And that year, I sat back and I was like, what the heck happened? This was not part of my plan at all. And that's when I created the plan to take BNI and scale it to a much larger organization.
Wow, that's such a great story. I love that it just, and it's turned into just obviously a global company that's very well respected. And I know tons and tons of people that advocate are heavily involved in and believe in your organization.
Thank you. So well done. We have 250,000 members now, and there's actually about 7,000 people who work for BNI.
Wow. Good job. Nice work. That's just extremely impressive. I love it. It's great to hear fascinating stories.
Thanks.
Like that. So Ivan, I hear you've got a new book out. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about that?
I am so excited about this book because it's the first book I've done that's a self-help book. You know, most of my books are on networking or sales or success or business. This is a self-help book. Now, it's a self-help book and it's great for anyone who wants to network because, you'll see when you understand the concept. The book is called Who's in Your Room? And it literally just came out. So here's the premise, Lori. Imagine you live your life in one room. And that one room has one door. And that one door is an enter only door, so that when people come into your life and into your room, they're there forever. You can never get them out. Now, luckily, this is a metaphor, but I'm going to come back to that because I think it's more than a metaphor. But luckily, it's a metaphor. But if it were true, would you be more selective, Lori, about the people that you've let into your life? Everybody says that.
100%.
I have never met anyone who says, no, I'd let anybody in. So our question, and I wrote this book with two other gentlemen, Stuart Emery and Rick Sapio. Our question is then why aren't we? Why, if we would be more selective in the future, why aren't we now? Now, I'm gonna make an argument that they're probably still in your room and you don't really recognize it. So for your listeners, I'd like you and your listeners to just think for a moment. Think about somebody that you let into your life that's now pretty much out of your life or completely out of your life, but somebody that got into your life that you wish you'd never allowed in because they brought chaos or drama or some caustic behavior. So think about that person? You got somebody, you don't have to name them, Lori, but do you have somebody in your mind?
I won't name them, but there's definitely someone in my mind.
All right. So here's the deal. And I want your listeners to think about this as well. If you're thinking of a name, they're still in your head. And if they're still in your head, they're still in your room. Because you will make decisions for the rest of your life based on the bad experiences or good experiences that you may have had with someone in your life. So someone, and I've had people say to me, they're out of my life. They're out of my room. If you can remember them, they're still in your head. And if they're in your head, they're in your life. And so, and we have some brain research that goes with this. Dr. Daniel Amen, we interviewed Dr. Amen, who's done a number of PBS shows on neuroscience. He's a neuroscientist. And he says in there that if you have a relationship with someone, their fingerprints are all over your brain. The things that they did to you or said to you are imprinted on your brain. You're going to remember it for the most of the rest of your life. And so it's very important to be careful and selective about who you let in your life. So the whole book is about, the first chapter sets that premise. The rest is how do you screen the people and then how do you deal with the people that you've let into your life? Now, this applies to networking because, hey, a network is a group of people that you want to be mm-hmm. very selective about who you let close to you to build your business. So even though it's not about networking at all, it kind of is relevant to networking. Does that make sense?
100%. I mean, I think it is very much relevant to networking. And I've got goosebumps just hearing you talk
about it. It's an exciting book. You know what? We already hit number one in self-help on Amazon. So it's a number one bestseller. It just came out just a couple of weeks ago. And we're doing really well with the book. So it makes a great Christmas gift. And let me tell you something. I wish I had this book at 17. Mm-hmm. You know, this is so awesome for young people. If you can get a young, and it's a short book, it's a 2-hour read. We had this book up to, a lot of people don't know this. I haven't said this on an interview yet. We had this book up to 45,000 words, pretty standard size for a book. And we said, you know what? We want this to be short and actionable. We want things that you can put to work right now in your life. And it took me a year. I was handed the manuscript from my co-authors and I cut it from 45,000 to 15,000 words. It's wow. short, it's sweet. You can read it in a couple of hours and there's very actionable. I wish I had this as a teenager. I think I would have made better choice. I made pretty good choices, but I didn't make really, really bonehead, stupid choices, but I made choices based more on what I thought someone could bring to my room sometimes than the values that I had personally. I mean, I'll give you an example. I let people into my room for many, many years who brought tons of drama. Tons of drama. You know the kind of people. We all have drama. I have drama. We all have drama. But there are some mm-hmm. people that, you know, they're slathered in drama. And when I first started talking to one of my co-authors about this concept, I started thinking about, well, what are some of the things that I don't like in my life? And it hit me, drama. And then it hit me, if I have drama in my life, it's all my fault because I control it. Mm-hmm. I let mm-hmm. these people Absolutely. In. And so what I would have done differently had I known what we've written about here is I would have been way more selective about the kinds of people that I bring into my life that were full of drama, but not anymore, my friend, not at all.
I'm definitely going to add this one to my reading list. So I've got a question related to the networking yeah. world here. Can you share with our listeners your most successful or favorite networking story or experience that you've had?
Well, you know, almost 34 years, a quarter of a million members, it's hard to nail it down to just one story. But I think some of the most amazing stories to me are stories that are embedded in the relationships that are built. That what happens in a strong network like BNI is that people get together on a weekly basis and they build these referrals, build these relationships. And when they build these relationships, they inevitably lead to people doing business with each other. Here's one example. I mean, I could give hundreds. One of the things that we teach in BNI and that I teach in my books is the importance of doing one-to-ones. You see, most people, I believe that most people use networking as a face-to-face cold calling opportunity. Hi, Lori, my name's Ivan, let's do business. And they jump right into business. I wrote a book on gender and networking. And in there, we call that process premature solicitation, which you don't want to say fast three times, it'll get you in trouble. and that's what tends to happen in networking. What we find is that it's really about relationships. And here's a great example of it. When I was working on one of my books, we came up with this concept, my co-author and I, previous book, Business by Referral, called The Gains Exchange. And it stands for Goals, Accomplishments, Interests, Networks, and Skills. We had two people in a BNI chapter who'd never done business with each other. They'd been in the group together for about 9 months, yet they'd never referred each other. And we did this exercise. We said, we want you to share with each other your goals, accomplishments, interests, networks, and skills. And Lori, they were completely complacent about it. It's like, we don't want to, this is silly. As a matter of fact, one of them said, this is weenie. That's what he said. This is weenie. I don't want to do it. I'm like, okay, well, do me a favor. Just do the exercise. And if you still think it's weenie, do that in the review. Say that in the review. It was weenie. It didn't work. Mm-hmm. So they said, fine, we'll do it. So these two guys started sharing with each other what each other's goals were, what their accomplishments were. They got to interests and everything stopped because they both found out they were soccer coaches for their sons' soccer teams. Well, now, it was everything soccer. So these two guys are sharing how they coach the soccer teams, and they really got connected with each other on that basis and ended up scouting for one another, videotaping each other's games, videotaping, scouting the competition and sharing the information. Okay. And really, really created a relationship. And guess what happened? They started passing referrals. Now, these two guys had been in the same group for 9 months, never passed each other referrals. 2 months after they do the gains exchange, they're passing referrals regularly to each other. One of the things that I've learned over the years is, you know, the concept, the phrase, it's not what you know, it's who you know.
Yep.
I don't believe it's either. I believe it's not what you know or who you know. It's how well you know each other that counts.
Okay.
And that when you build a meaningful relationship with someone, then you care about that person and you want to help them. And so that's just one example of how building a deep relationship with someone is a great way to get a referral. If your network, or get lifelong referrals, if your network is a mile wide and an inch deep, it is not powerful. Your network needs to be both wide and in places deep in order to build a powerful personal network. Make sense?
Absolutely. I am a big advocate of all of that. I think it has to be a combination of wide and deep. But I love the relationship component. And your acronym, your gains exercise, I think that's fantastic. It's good. It's simple, right? But it's a nice formula to cover a lot of bases in you know, that one-on-one, 30 minutes, half hour, you know.
Our meeting's easy. But you know what? It's a lot of the things that I talk about there, I say it's easy. It's actually not. It's simple, but it's not easy. It's not easy because people tend not to do this stuff consistently. They're inconsistent with the application of these simple ideas. And I'm here to tell you that if you are consistent in the application of simple ideas, you're going to be incredibly successful. I think one of the biggest mistakes, you know, I built a company that is global, has over 8,000 locations worldwide. I think one of the biggest mistakes that business people have made, forget about networking, just in general, is that they do 1,000 things 6 times. You want to be successful in business? Do 6 things 1,000 times, not 1,000 things 6 times. And much of what I teach is simple, It's not easy because people just get out of the habit of doing something. But if you do it and you do it consistently, you're going to be incredibly successful.
Oh, I love that. I've not heard that, but it totally makes sense. And I think I just wrote it down and circled it. That's how powerful that statement was. I love it. So let's talk about that a little bit. How do you recommend others to stay in front of or best nurture your network?
Well, it certainly begins with the things like doing those one-to-one meetings. Here's a concept that is the foundation of everything I teach with networking. It's called the VCP process. VCP, it stands for visibility, credibility, profitability. You first have to be visible in the community. People have to know who you are and what you do. Then and only then can you move to credibility, where people know who you are, they know what you do, and they know you're good at it. And then you move from credibility to profitability. And profitability is where people know who you are, they know what you do, they know you're good at it, and they're willing to pass you referrals on an ongoing, consistent basis. And it's that credibility piece that takes a long time. So what tends to happen is that people meet one another and they go right into the sales mode. Let me give you an example. I did a speech in London a number of years ago, and there were about 900 people in the audience. And just as a fluke, I asked the audience, I said, how many of you are here today hoping to, maybe just possibly sell something? Lori, 900 people raised their hands. They all raised their hands.
I believe it.
I said, great. It was an all-day thing, a lot of people networking. I was the keynote. I said, okay, second question. How many of you are here today hoping to, maybe just possibly buy something? No one raised their hands, not one single person. So this is what I call the networking disconnect. People show up at networking events wanting to sell, but nobody's there to buy. So when I talk about this, some people say, well, then why go? You go to work through the VCP process. If there are people there that you haven't met, then you need to get to credit. You need to get to visibility. They need to know who you are and what you do. There's actually a fourth phase we haven't talked about, and that's invisibility. If you just meet somebody one time, you're still invisible to them because they're not going to remember you at the end of the day. It takes a little time to create visibility. It takes more time to create credibility, and it takes even more time to move it to profitability. So you network to work through the VCP process. That's why you network.
Oh, that's great. I love it. And visibility is extremely important, and that's why you advocate in BNI, the weekly meetings. Yeah. I know a lot of networking groups are monthly or quarterly.
Yeah. So we have experience with that. When I didn't know any better, I had people who said to me, weekly's too much. Can we do it every other week? So I said, okay, we can do it every other week. And we found that every other week doesn't work because you don't know what week is every other week when you're inviting people. So then we went from 52 meetings a year, roughly. I mean, there's some holidays in there, but 52 to 26. And then when we realized that every other week isn't going to work because people show up in the wrong weeks, then we had to do it twice a month, which is different than every other week because there's 20. If you do it every other week, it's 26 weeks. If you do it twice a month, it's 24. So then we went from 52 to 24 potential meetings a year. What difference does that make? I'll tell you exactly what difference it made in reality, in the real world, doing this as a networking program. The chapters that met 24 times a year versus 52 times a year passed 52% less referrals than the chapters who met every week. So what we discovered was power of connecting on a regular basis. It's called proxemics, this theory on staying connected physically, proximity with people. And the theories on proxemics are that personal connection makes a world of difference in building the relationship. And so we found that weekly meetings just generated way more business for people than every other week or twice a month.
Wow. That's really interesting, actually. But it makes I can see that because it is that
top of mind. That's the exact phrase that I use. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so much truth to that, and that's why I'm such an advocate for staying in front of your community and as many levels as you can. So this one I think is going to be an interesting to hear your insight on. What advice would you offer that business professional who's just getting started and looking to grow their network?
So that's a great question. There's a number of things that I would recommend. So you're talking about in business in general or networking?
Yeah, we'll say in right. business, the business professional.
Here's a few things. I do a talk called Garage to Global. How do you take your business out of your garage? Which my business was literally in my garage and in a room above my garage and turn it into a global organization. The first thing I talk about is do 6 things 1,000 times. But here's a couple of others. At first, this first one's going to sound obvious, but stick with me. The first thing I say is you got to set goals. You can't hit a target you're not aiming at. So you got to set goals. Everybody says set goals. But let me give you 2 techniques for goal setting that you don't hear very often. One is I recommend that people set 3 levels of goals. Not 1 level, 3 levels. So when you're thinking about what you're going to do next year, you set 3 levels of your goals. The highest level is the dancing on the roof level. It's like if you hit this goal, it's popping champagne time because you've arrived. You really knocked it out of the park. Then the second level is your target. This is where you really want to be, and you think it's quite achievable. The lowest level, and this is the one where you got to get real with yourself. If you can't hit this number, you might be in the wrong business, and you need to take a good look at whether you're going to continue. If you can't hit that lower level. So set 3 levels of goals. That's 1 recommendation. Here's the 2nd recommendation. Reverse engineer all 3. So if you set a goal for December, where are you going to be in November for those 3? Where are you going to be in October? Where are you going to be in September? Where are you going to be in August? You back it all the way down to January, the end of January. So that by the end of January, you look at your numbers and you go, how am I? Am I on track? What tends to happen is people set goals. Oh, yeah, everybody says set goals, so I'm going to set a goal. Then they set a goal and it's May or June and they're like, oh, dude, I'm way far off. I haven't thought about this and I'm not even close. So you've got to get really granular with your numbers and your goals. I get a daily report. Not a weekly report, not a monthly report, not a quarterly report. I get a daily report on how many chapters I have and how many members I have in BNI. That's why I can tell you that I have 8,753 chapters because as of yesterday, that's the report. So you got to get granular with your numbers and you got to reverse engineer them. And I'd recommend you set 3 levels. How's that?
I love it. I love it. This is fantastic. And you're right. I mean, I've heard set goals, which is, it's good advice. I mean, if you don't have something you're shooting for, you're basically lost, yeah. Right? But the way that you broke this down, it's simple, it's achievable and very realistic. And I'm thinking like, oh, I'm going to go do this after we're done today. So no, this is fantastic advice. So thank you very much for sharing that. All right. So we've all heard of the 6 degrees of separation. Yeah. Now, who would be the one person that you'd love to connect with? And do you think you could do it in the 6th degree, which I assume you're going to say yes. But I want to know, how would you start that journey?
Well, I'm going to sidetrack you because let's talk about the 6 degrees of separation. I wrote a book on it. And it was based on an article that I wrote called Santa Claus, Easter Bunny, and 6 Degrees of Separation.
Okay.
And,
great.
I ask, you know, what do they all have in common? And the answer is they're all urban legends. Yes, I hate to break this to people, but the 6 degrees of separation concept is an urban legend. It came about as a result of Stanley Milgram, who did what's called the Small World Studies. And the Small World Studies, and anyone who's interested in this concept, pick up my book, The 29% Solution. In the Small World Studies, what he did was he had a package of material. He was in Oklahoma, and he said you had to find, he gave to like 200 and some people this package of material. And he said, find this person in Boston. And I think they were a stockbroker. Now, this was before Google, so you couldn't just Google the person. And sure. They found that on average, it took 6 steps. You know, somebody said, well, I know someone who lives in Massachusetts. I'll send this package to them. And then Massachusetts said, well, I know somebody who lives near Boston. And so on average, it took 6 steps to get to the guy in Boston. So what's my problem? My problem is that only 67 of the 200 and some odd people ever found the guy. Only 29% of the respondents ever found the guy in Boston. The other 71% couldn't find their car keys. They never found the guy. So what we say is we're all connected by 6 degrees. And oh, by the way, Stanley Milgram never said that. It was the media that said that. We've come up with this phrase that we're all connected by 6 degrees. And the truth is we're not. That only 29%. And by the way, that was his best study. He did another one that only 5% found the guy. So in his best study, 29% found the person. So what I did with the book was I said, well, how do you become part of the 29%? And it was a 52-weekly success strategy to become part of the 29%. So I don't think we're all connected by 6 degrees, but if we were, to get to your original question, if we were connected by 6 degrees, who would I like? That's a great question. I'm rarely stumped by a question. I think I'd like to meet Bill Gates. I've never met Bill Gates. Yeah.
Okay.
It'd be nice to meet Bill Gates. That'd be an interesting connection to make.
Yeah. And how do you think you'd start that?
Oh, if I were really interested in meeting Bill Gates, seriously, seriously interested, I'd just put it out to my network, because it's amazing how, you know, if you just put that out there and you start asking, that connection comes. I guess I'm not seriously interested, but it would be an interesting person to connect with. I have no particular need to do it.
Well, you've definitely created some curiosity with me, and I'm going to check out your 29%.
Yeah, check it out.
Solution.
Hey, here's the, you know, putting the word out in your network is so important. And the more specific you are, the better. Let me tell you a real quick story. I wanted to meet Harvey McKay because I wanted Harvey McKay in one of my books. I did a book called Masters of Networking. And I wanted to meet Harvey McKay. And so whenever the topic came up, I would say, hey, you know, if you know anybody that knows Harvey, I'd love to meet him. And somebody asked me the question, just like you did, who would you like to meet that you haven't met? And I said, well, and it was, by the way, it was a BNI member who was driving me from the airport to my hotel. Okay. He just volunteered to pick me up and drive me to the hotel. So it wasn't a big wig. Harvey McKay, you know, very, very successful guy. He wrote the book, Swimming with the Sharks and Dig Your Well Before You're Thirsty. And so I said, I'd love to meet Harvey McKay. And he said, Oh, and I said, I can't get past the secretary or the assistant. And he said, oh, do you mean Diane or whatever her name was? I forget. I'm like, yeah, you know her? He said, oh, yeah, I volunteered to pick up Harvey last year when he was visiting. And I got to know the assistant really, really well. I'd be happy to call her and tell her, you know, take your call. You're a good guy. And I'm like, are you kidding? You know her? Yes. And he made the call, and I was able to get through to Harvey, and Harvey now has become a friend. I've known him now for several years. Great guy.
Oh, that's a great story. I love it. So, well, Ivan, do you have any final word or advice to offer our listeners with regards to growing and supporting?
Yeah, you know what? I think that when people recognize that networking is more about farming than it is about hunting, that it's about cultivating relationships with other people When they get that, it starts working for them better. This is not a get-rich-quick scheme. This is not something where you get rich overnight, but it's a way to build a solid foundation for a long-term successful business. People go out and they go to networking meetings, they don't get anything, and they're like, oh, I didn't make a sale. Well, look, even a blind squirrel can find a nut. We're not talking about stumbling over business. We're talking about building long-term referrals. And in order to do that, it's all about relationships. So it's about farming and building relationships. That's the way you build a powerful personal network, in my opinion.
I love that. It's a great analogy. And farming is all about nurturing your crop and, enjoying the fruits.
Absolutely.
Of
yes to
that's
both.
That's a fantastic analogy. I love it. Ivan, if anyone was interested in getting in contact with you, what's the best way?
Well, there's a couple of ways to reach me. I'm really active on Facebook. You can get my public Facebook page, facebook.com/IvanMeisner. BNI founder. And I have a blog. IvanMeisner.com, M-I-S-N-E-R, IvanMeisner.com. I post a lot of free content up there, and I've been posting twice a week for about 11 or 12 years, so tons of content up on IvanMeisner.com.
That is fantastic, and I will include all of that information in our
and
show.
If I can also just add BNI.com for anybody that's interested in BNI, of course. Thanks.
Of course. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today.
My pleasure. Anytime.
Great conversation. This wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Dr. Ivan Meisner for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, send an email to Lori@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Be sure to visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to check out our free ebooks on business and networking.